Hello and welcome to Gridiron Gurus. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Evan Crawley for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. It's week four of the high school football season now. We've reached the halfway point, and this week, Evan, we'll start in the Campbell Conference Class D, where there's a big game between a couple Central Maine rivals.
Yep, let's get right into the this week's KJ game of the week. It's Marinacook is 2-0, traveling to 2-1 Winthrop Monmouth. Game slated for 7 o'clock Friday night at Maxwell Field. This is a classic case of speed versus power. The Ramblers, quick team. They've got guys who can get the ball in space and make some things happen. And they're coming off arguably their biggest win in the last 2 years.
Sure.
Knocked off Dirigo 12-7 on a 1 yard touchdown plunge from quarterback Matt Ingram with 6.9 seconds left. It was a great game up at Harlow Park that night. And they'll be facing a similar team in Marinacook with a lot more size, though, up front. They got a couple guys who go 300-plus. Quarterback Kyle Moran, 6'1", 214. I mean, they're going to want to grind this game out, slow down the pace, and limit possessions as much as possible. Recently, we caught up with Ingram about how he and the Ramblers are preparing for the Black Bears.
Their size is definitely an advantage for them. We've accounted for that in what we've been doing to get ready for them. I think it's going to be a challenge, but I think we can handle it.
What do you feel like your strengths are going into this game?
Definitely our quickness, our speed, and our power. You know, those three things.
What effect did last Friday night's win over Dirigo have on you guys this week?
It's given us a lot of stamina and confidence, for sure. I mean, that was a big win for us, so we're all feeling good right now.
Did it change your outlook on how this season's gone, given you hadn't beaten a team that good in the last year or two?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say so. You know, it just shows that we can compete with the better teams in our league right now.
Now, elsewhere in Campbell Conference Class D, 3-0 Oak Hill travels to 0-3 Telstar. Last year, Oak Hill not ran up the score, but it was pretty one-sided, 47-14 in the Raiders' favor, and expect the same. Oak Hill's got plenty of depth, and while Telstar, when healthy, has just 18 on its roster. So this will be an opportunity for the Raiders to work on some things, get some younger guys some experience. Looking elsewhere in the LTC, big news out of there with Camden Hills, Travis. That's going to affect some of the area's teams.
Yeah, as we record this on Thursday afternoon, a couple hours ago, Camden Hills announced that they would be dropping football for the rest of the season. They cited safety. They said they just don't have enough kids to feel like they can put out a team and keep kids healthy and safe on the football field. They were down under 20 players. I saw them in week one at Mount View, and they did struggle. They didn't have a lot of numbers then, and if it's gotten even lower, it might just be a thing where it's Camden Hills just has to make a decision for next year and in the future. Do they want to have a football program or don't they? And it doesn't look like they've really put everything they have behind it to support it. You know, maybe that will change now that it's going away for the rest of this season. The big thing in the LTC, though, is the teams that were scheduled to play them the rest of the way, starting with MCI next week, who was supposed to host Camden for a homecoming game. Do they get a win via forfeit? Do they just not count it and use 7 countable games in the Crabtree formula to determine who goes to the playoffs? Do the teams that already played Camden Hills get the win still? The LTC's got some discussion to talk about this weekend.
I mean, if it was me just speculating, I would award the teams as a forfeit win, similar to what happened with Trape last year in the Campbell Conference. After they self-reported the use of an ineligible player,
right,
all those went back, and teams were awarded wins, even if they had been beaten by Trape that season. But that doesn't change the fact that MCI still has a tough game, in theory, in front of them today, possibly their biggest challenge so far.
Yeah, they've got a really good Monocook team coming to Pittsfield on Friday night. Monocook, like MCI, is 3-0. MCI coach Tom Bertrand said this could be the best regular season game in the LTC this year. These teams met in the playoffs last year with MCI winning 20-0. MCI beat them 25-15 in the regular season game last season. They met in the playoffs also the year before that with Monocook coming to Pittsfield and taking the win. So there's a budding rivalry between those two schools, and it'll be interesting to see if MCI keeps rolling. They had a close game at the half last week at Mountain View. They were only up 13-12. And then in the second half, just steamrolled the Mustangs, pulled away. By the end of the third quarter, they were up 48-12 and took the win easily. Looking at those Mount View Mustangs, that was their first loss last week. They're 2-1. They go to Orono, who's 1-2, and Orono is just struggling with a lot of key players injured. So it'll be interesting to see if the Red Riots can play with the Mustangs. Looking now at Northern Class C, the Big Ten Conference. There's a few good games on the tap. We'll start with Waterville hosting the first night game in the history of the school's program at Drummond Field. They've never had lights there. They're renting lights to have their homecoming game against Oceanside on Friday night. Both teams are 1-2. I wouldn't call it exactly a must-win for either yet, Evan, because it's kind of a bunched-up league after you have Winslow at the top. But for the loser of this game, it could become a must-win next week. Looking at another game in that league, we have Madison 2-1 going to Winslow. Madison still one of the more improved teams this year in the league. Took a tough loss at Belfast last week, going up against a team at Winslow that just has a lot of speed, a lot of depth. And Winslow's coming off their first tough game of the season, a 35-20 win at Mount Desert Island that was tied 14-14 at the half. And Coach Mike Savisky said his team was kind of probably lucky to even be tied at the half that game with the way the Trojans come at you with that old-fashioned T formation and just grind out drives. That's how they almost beat Mount Blue a few years ago when they were in Class B. We spoke to Winslow starting quarterback senior Jake Trask about the challenges that Madison faces this weekend.
They're a very tough team, and you just want to be ready to go on Saturday. So,
how important was it for you guys to have a game where you know starters played all the whole game, all 48 minutes?
It's very nice to like know that you can play four quarters if you need to, and it was an eye opener and woke us up. So we're ready.
How do you feel? Like, did that make you guys better?
That definitely made us better. We realized that a lot of things that we need to work on, and out of all, everyone's gunning for us, so we just got to be ready for everyone.
Now, Travis, the big game in the PTCB this week that I'm sure a lot of eyes will be on, 3-0 Brewer travels to 3-0 Skowhegan. This seems like it would be a really good measuring stick game for this conference.
Yeah, I think it's a good measuring stick game for both teams. Only three teams left unbeaten in the conference, Brewer, Skowhegan, and, of course, Brunswick, the defending champions. It'll be an interesting match of Brewer's power run game where, everybody and anybody can carry the ball for the Witches and has done it successfully against Skowhegan's kind of wide-open passing game where quarterback Garrett McSweeney is really coming into his own with 8 touchdown passes to 5 different receivers over the last 2 weeks. Another game that's kind of a must-win for at least one of the teams in the PTCB is Lawrence going to Coney.
Yeah, Lawrence 0-3 right now. Not often that you say that. But it's more or less a must-win for both of these teams. Coach B.L. Lippert didn't want to call it that when it's not a playoff game or an actual must-win. But, if both of these teams are looking at 1-3, looking up at the rest of the division, they're going to have to scrap their way up to the top. This was a game where the Rams certainly aren't going to have to look far for motivation. Last time these two teams met at Alumni Field was a playoff game in the PTCB semifinals last year, and Lawrence actually won the game 28-27 on a halfback pass with a little over a minute remaining to stun the Rams. Reed Shostak is going to be the player to watch in this game. He's had a couple weeks back. He's still he's still going to be wearing the brace, but is it something at this point he can get used to? And it's similar strategies than you've seen in the past. I mean, Coney's going to try to spread it out. Quarterback Taylor Heath's going to be looking for Jordan Roddy and Joel Bennett.
Sure.
The big thing, I think, will be if Lawrence can string a couple quarters together. I know I saw them against Brunswick a few weeks ago. And for times, they looked like a very good team. They were very much a playoff team. And other times, they had their issues. So if they can sort that out, this should be a really good game for two teams that are desperate for a win. Speaking of desperate for a win, 0-3 Nokomis travels to 0-3 Gardner.
Sure.
One of those teams will have a win after today. And a lot of those same issues have struck both teams. I talked to Gardner coach Joe White and as well as a few guys from Nokomis last week, and they had a lot of similar things to say. Where for moments they're seeing positive steps forward, but they're still trying to string those four quarters together. For Gardner, the big thing is going to be on the offensive and defensive lines. Nokomis has great size, and it'll be interesting to see if Gardner can hold up, give quarterback Eli Kropp the time to throw the ball, or make holes for running back Josh Farrin. On the other side, Nokomis deployed Alex Chipman at fullback last week, and you know he was bigger than a lot of the guys he was running right, yeah. in front of, or running behind. Elsewhere in the PTCB, this seems like a game for the last few years. Mesolanski's been able to pull the upset. Are they able to do it again this year, Travis?
Well, we'll see. Mesolanski's going to Brunswick, and last two seasons, Mesolanski's been the only team to beat Brunswick in the regular season. Brunswick kind of got some revenge last year in the playoffs with a 27-20 win in the conference semifinals, and Mesolanski knows what they're up against with Will Bessie, the great running back from Brunswick, because he single-handedly won that playoff game with, you know, four long touchdown runs. Mesolanski outgained the Dragons in yardage, time possessions, all those categories except, you know, stopping Will Bessie. So if they can do that, they might be in good shape. Mesolanski's got their own pretty good running game led by Jack Bernacchi, who ran for 230 yards and seven touchdowns last week in their win up at Hamden. So expect both teams to do nothing fancy and grind it out and really come at each other. The other big game in the PTCB this weekend is Mount Blue, who is 2-1, going up to 1-2 Hamden. Mount Blue looked very impressive last week with their win at Lawrence, particularly wide receiver Nate Pratt-Holt, who scored a touchdown through the air with a catch from quarterback Ryan Pratt on the ground on a reverse play, and on defense when he scooped up a fumble and ran it back 61 yards for a score. Hamden struggled a little bit defensively in their two losses, gave up more than 50 points to Brunswick and then to Mesolanski last week. They sandwiched a win of over Nokomis there in the middle of it. So if the Broncos can start playing a little defense, they might get back into the playoff hunt.
One last game locally, Hyde, Connecticut travels to Kent's Hill for a 2 p.m. start over on the hill. It's the Huskies' first game of the season. They went 0-8 last year. They'll be looking to rebound this year. They've switched to the triple option, and they're hoping that pays dividends.
Sure. Be sure to check out all our high school football coverage on centralmaine.com, and we will see you next week on Gridiron Gurus.